Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I think a few people are hiding this morning. If you would like to look at some of our lessons and maybe update yours, this is on the first lesson, so we have these available. Don't walk off with these, but certainly fill in your notes. Today, we brought a few more, and the topic today, the number one human dilemma is sin. Sin in us and in others. So anyway, sometimes they say, well, he's going too fast. You know, that is, at our house, our children were part of a neighborhood, and the city put out a sign out front, slow children playing. And I thought about some of our kids that just were not real fast, but nevertheless. Nevertheless, they did it. So what can you do? It's good to be with you this morning. And turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. And we'll read a little bit about Noah, who stood for the Lord and spoke of judgment. Genesis chapter 6. I hope you had a good night of rest. It's just a delight to come and teach the Word of God this morning. And know this, the judgment is coming. So let's learn from Noah. Let's start with verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I made them. But you love this next one. This is the only hope for you and I. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a genealogy of Noah. Noah's a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Heth, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I would destroy them from the earth. The last verse. Then Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. In Matthew chapter 28, the Lord 24 talks about Noah. He said, and for those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand that the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the days of Noah, what kind of place was his earth in that day before the flood? Certainly we think of man's depravity. There certainly was an increase in population, but there was also an increase in corruption and violence. And a man by the name of Robert Bork wrote a book, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. And he talked about some of the social ills of our society, what we might call the human dilemma. We hear a rap song asking for the killing of a policeman or sexual mutilation of a woman. The indoctrination that comes from pagan universities. The homicide figures in Chicago and Los Angeles and New York, even Philadelphia, is supposed to be the city of brotherly love, and a lot of people get killed in Philadelphia every year. So unrelenting is the assault on our sensibilities, and many of us grow numb. We find resignation to a response that the environment is increasingly polluted and corrupt and out of control. And we would say shameless depravity. And so in Noah's time, there was an increase in population, increased corruption. Evil thoughts and deeds were the norm. Felt the cycle would continue forever. Well, we know that there's going to be an end of this tape, an end of this story. And then sudden destruction came. God limited human wickedness. There is a point. My spirit shall not always strive with men. There was a guy that lived next door to the chapel, and it was an A-frame building. We put on a new roof. That's the last roof that I remember working on. And he wanted to move the ladder, and I said, please don't move that ladder, because those shingles, we had insulation underneath it. I said, please don't move it. And he said, I'm going to move it. He'd been drinking. And it's hard to reason with a drunk. He was drinking. And I said, you know, I want to share a Bible verse with you. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. Think about that. All of us will give an account of himself to God. And we use this to worship the Lord. So I don't want you to move that ladder. I'm going to get a rope on it, pull it back, and I'll get it down. We'll move it. He said, I'm moving it. And I said, you know, you don't think that every man shall give an account of himself to God? He said, it doesn't matter. And I said, well, I think you ought to think about that verse, that every man shall give an account of himself to God. The last time that you walk, you know, out of this world, you're going to say, yeah, every man shall give an account of it. He said, you want me to remember that verse, don't you? And I said, I do, because every man shall give an account of himself to God, so leave the ladder alone. He did. So that was good. Well, in today's world, we all sit under the judgment of God that's coming. Who can doubt it? All we have to do is read Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And so that's where people are today. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongue to deceive. The venom of a cobra snake is under their tongue. Their lips, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Remember the last time somebody used the Lord's name in vain in front of you? It just shocks me, just stops me when somebody uses the Savior's name in profanity. Their deeds, they're swift to shed blood, and we see that. They're only in bitterness, they're dangerous, they're not peaceful. We do live in a world. And here we have a verse that says, the ways of man are before the Lord, so he watches all his paths. Here we see these two men that have just gotten married. And so, you know, God looks down upon all of this, doesn't he? The ways of man. That's wisdom, to know that we walk and we live before the God of heaven. And then we read on that my soul will not always strive with men. The word strive means work with, convict, move in their hearts. Well, then we can really ask the question, how does the Spirit of God strive? Well, through sick circumstance, nothing like being on your back to cause you to look up. Trials, sickness, loss. Through the Word of God, of people, there's so much that's people, there are messages from the Word of God on the radio, you can get it on your cell phone, showing sin and judgment and warning. And, of course, every Christian who walks to please the Lord is a condemnation to those that are walking in sin. And, you know, I've had people say, you just make me uncomfortable. And I said, why? He said, because you're walking one way and I'm walking another way. And I said, I'm glad you're uncomfortable because you're on the broad road. I want to get off that road. And using the examples of other people, there's a young man in Russia that was an atheist. And that's when the walls came down, and they were going to get Bibles out in this town. Well, the American Bible Society was going to ship them over there, but lo and behold, the shipment got delayed. And so the mayor of the town said, hey, we confiscated all the Bibles long ago. We'll get them out. And he got him out, and the young man saw the enthusiasm of people picking up the Word of God, the Bible. And he thought, well, I might get one. Even though his heart was hard and he said he didn't believe in God, he flipped open the front cover, and his grandma's name was on it. And he just sat down and cried. And he said, Lord, you love me. And so he had a message from God that day. And I'm so thankful that this word is true. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the Spirit strives through the Word of God, through the examples, through others, certainly through the work of Christ. And God offers salvation to all, and he offers forgiveness. But we need to repent and trust. And repent means that I change my mind, I change my thinking. My heart is engaged. My thinking with my heart, that is moved as well. And then I take action. I get out and confess my sins, and I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Well, I'm thankful that the Lord demonstrates long-suffering. He's patient. And however, there's time. We're all going to die. We all go to funerals. And we can move towards that ultimate thing that we can't control. And are you prepared for that next step? Are you prepared for eternity? And I think it's so sad as we read Romans 1 that God gave them over to impurity, degrading passions, and a depraved mind, void of judgment. You know, C.S. Lewis said, hell can be defined this way. Christian could say, thy will be done. God says to you, if you want to walk into hell, have it your own way. Have it your own way. Go your own way. And the consequences are severe. But know this, the Lord was grieved. And the word grieved means is a term of affection. How many parents have been grieved by the behavior of kids? How many elders have been grieved by the behavior of children in the meeting? How should a believer live in a world given over to sin? Well, you know, there's something about a believer and have an up spirit. We're reading Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Now, how many of you live up to that verse? A little confession needed? Do all things without grumbling and complaining. So that you prove yourself blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in a world crooked and perverse, among whom you appear as lights in the world. By God's grace, have a clear testimony. The day is getting dark. May, Lord, in my life, may I have a clear testimony for you. And then finally, hold fast the word of life. Have, in that sense, on the day of Christ, I have a reason to glory because I didn't run in vain or toil in vain. And that's a bold witness. Even Paul prayed that he would have boldness. Help me to have a bold witness, Lord. The man Noah, God uses men and women who simply trust him and give their lives to him. By word and deed, Noah stood. He had godly character, just and blameless. And this was imparted to him. It wasn't something, his natural tendency, like any sinner, was to sin. He was obedient to God's word. We don't have to complain. We can just persevere. Faith in God's word, obedience, persevere. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And his wife said, what are you going to do today, Noah? Well, I'm going to go work on the ark, but I'm going to preach to those who come and watch. And it probably was quite a show, but he was a preacher of righteousness, God's righteous standards. He built the ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Imagine, you know, the boys, Noah's boys had to work too, didn't they? They had to say, hold this up, let's measure this. They pegged it all together. What a monstrosity that they built. And all with this thought is that we're getting ready for judgment. We're going to be prepared. And he was a just and blameless man. He walked with God. And much should be said about that from the book of Ephesians, but here's some thoughts. Walking with God means that we believe in Him, we trust Him. Walking with God means we grow in grace. Walking with God means that we have fellowship with Him. In our sense, we believe that we're part of a Christian fellowship as well. Walking with God means enjoying Him. Walking with God means separation from the world. And walking with God means focusing on His future. And so we walk with these things in mind. I walk with God. And I step out the door and I believe in Him and I want to demonstrate that I belong to Him. I'm growing in grace. I'm reading my Bible. I'm having fellowship. You can't do it alone. You have to feed on His word and be with other Christians or you'll be sucked down the sewer that this whole world is about. And focusing on His future. Nothing like talking to people about going to heaven. And knowing that you're going to be there, what that's like. Well, God instructs the righteous to prepare to escape the judgment of the world. It's a message of obedience. Picture Noah might well have been the last sermon these godless people would hear as he finished the ark. Stands with the door open, gleaming in the final coat of pitch. He might have preached Methuselah's funeral. He might have said, Father Enoch was a prophet of God. His name meant, when he dies, it shall come. Now he's dead and it's coming. It surely will come. The long-delayed judgment of God is coming. Come now. But salvation has been provided for you. Who will come and seek refuge in the ark? All that is needed is one simple step of faith. Come now. As Billy Graham would, have him sing, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I had a lady in our meeting said, explain to me John 3:36. I read it in a translation. One word got changed. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And it's in her translation, it said, he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. I said, I looked up that word, and it could be written down as believe. Ours is an obedience of faith. God calls us to obey, and so we must obey. And so do I practice full obedience? Is it too hard? Was it easy for Noah? No, was it? And what's my excuse for not being obedient? I love these children. It's my sister who made me do it. I was just tired. I didn't mean to do it. I'll tell you a little story about my Alana. She was just a little girl, and her brother was just a little guy, and he annoyed her. Brothers do annoy sisters, older sisters. And one day she said to her mother, I want you to know that I didn't hit Nathan today. That's a good step, isn't it? She said, I just thought to myself, if I hit him today, when I was annoyed with him, that would be one sin. If I didn't do it, that would be one sin Jesus didn't have to die for. So I didn't hit him. And her mother said, well, that's good. that's great. Here's the verse. John 14:21. And it's one of the slides, too. Wasn't easy for Noah. It was too hard, old-fashioned, really. And here's the verse. Embarrassing, dangerous, yeah, all of that. Not really important. God doesn't care. Well, God does care. And here's the verse. He that hath my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I'll love him and manifest myself. I'll make myself known to him. Our obedience is tied to the simple truth, do I love the Lord? Do I? And my wife gives me lots of orders. And because I love her, I obey her most of the time. I just go do it. And the Lord has given me truth in His word, and I want to walk in the light of that. I want to walk in truth. I want to do His will. He that hath my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. The plan, the wicked will be judged. Are you surprised by that? There's a day of accountability. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. But here's the good news. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord has provided a way of escape. We're all going to die, but if you don't know Christ, you're going to face judgment. You don't have to. Who will be judged? And you will be judged. And we might say, what's the criteria for judgment? You will be judged by the truth of God. This is from Romans 2, and God's righteousness. You certainly will be judged by your deeds. And your judgment of others. That's, we don't even live up to our own standards of others. Our own standards of others condemn us. Your deeds, you're also going to be judged by the gospel. God has provided an escape route through Christ. And if we read in Romans 2, even your secrets, there's nothing hidden from the Lord. Your secret sins are all open before him. And in this verse really moves me in Matthew 12. Every idle word that men shall speak, what's the rest of it? They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Even your idle words, the Lord knows them, and you will be held accountable. That's bad news, isn't it? But it's the truth. You may not want to hear it, but it's the truth. I'm so thankful that God has provided a way of escape for the righteous judgment of sin. The water in this case was God's judgment. The ark, a picture of Christ. I was in a Bible study. This guy wanted me to watch some video about from his background, his religion. And the man, or in this case, the priest was talking about, you know, the righteous life we live will make a way for us. And that we do our deeds. And that we should pray to Mary and ask her to help us in our journey. And so he was saying all of that, and everything he said I was disagreeing with. And so at the end I thought, well, I'm not just gonna come back and dump the dump truck on him. So I just picked out one thing. I said, think about the ark. How many doors were in the ark? Just one? Just one door in the ark. And we're thankful for that. Judgment all around, but there was only one door. And the ark is a picture of Christ. And the only way to get into the ark is through that door. And Jesus said, I'm the door. Well, Noah preached about hope and safety, but it fell on deaf ears, some mocked, some ridicule. Maybe even some wrote learned articles on what Noah was doing and called him a fool. What was he thinking? And most ignored the whole thing. And people like to mock what the scriptures say, like to mock the thought that there's going to be a lot of joy in hell, and I'll have a lot of friends there as well. Get into the ark now. Sin will be too late. The door. Get in. Well, it's a picture of God's salvation, isn't it? And I'm so thankful that he knows our name. John 10 says he calls us by name. He said, I'm the door, by me, if any man enter in through me, he'll be saved, he'll be rescued, and he'll go out into green pastures, he'll be satisfied, and then obviously he'll be secure as well. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that a great thought? That you will have security. But the door of opportunity soon will be shut. The door will be shut. The angel of the church of Philadelphia wrote, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. When the last day falls, when God shuts the door, then it's done. There's no more going back. And so the invitation right now, you may have great sin, but God has greater grace. greater grace. He's there for you. And so we come and we preach the word. We sing that song, "Let Not the Circle Be Broken." I tell you, there are parents that cry as they pray for kids that have gone astray and loved ones that have gone astray. But there are only two results there, two classes of people, those who are in the ark and those who are outside the ark. Those who have come through the door, those who are outside of it. Two results. They're saved by grace, and those who are destroyed. Delivered or destroyed. Which side of that will you be? The flood was universal. And Brother Paul may be able to help me out on this, but it was geological records show that with the rock formations around the earth. Oral traditions also proclaim that. And the Bible says it, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water by his word. The present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. You know, when you talk to somebody, I talked to my Uncle Glenn, right, my dad's brother, towards the end of his life. And I said, "Glenn, would it be all right if I came in and talked to you about where you're going, where you'll be, and about the Lord?" He said, "All right, make it short and don't preach." So I talked to him about his wife that knew the Lord, his daughters who knew the Lord. And his wife had recently died. And he listened to me respectfully. And I said, "Uncle Glenn, you can go be with your wife someday. She's going to be in heaven. You put your hand in Jesus' hand and just say no to leaving him out of your life. You know, certainly your grief for your wife. Turn to the Lord today. Trust him. He's there. He died to save you. You don't have to die in your sins. Your brother, my dad, has trusted the Lord. And he's, because of that, the way we've been raised is part of his doing. And I thank God for a man who loved God and loved the word of God. How can I be certain that I will escape God's judgment? Well, here's the verse. Many of you can quote this verse. "Truly, truly," kind of a double positive, or "verily, verily," the old King James said, "I say unto you," God is talking to you, "he who hears my word," have you heard it, "and believes him who sent me?" Have you heard the word that we're all sinners? Have you heard the word that you have to give an account for your sin? Have you heard the word that Christ died for your sins? Have you heard the word, if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will be saved? Believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. It's a present possession. You don't have to work for it. You receive it by faith. And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." We say amen, don't we? That is so good. That's wonderful. We all stand before God someday. We will all stand. And how can I be certain? Well, thank God we won't have a universal deluge, because that said. Nevertheless, Carolee, we lost. Well, I'm thankful you didn't disappear. I'm glad you were here. Hit the clicker, that's fine, but I'm glad you're here, dear. We should stand. I think people, if they really thought about it, and I understand, I have a friend of mine whose mama worked in a kind of a hospice center. She was a nurse and elderly. And her observation, where there was lots of older, especially men, who died with lots of regret. They thought about the things that were going on. And to think that you're not accountable, that you won't stand before God, why not die with peace in your heart? knowing that you step from here and you're stepping there into his presence. Thank God for believers who take a stand like Noah. Noah stood up and spoke, and he also demonstrated by what he put his life into. He obeyed the Lord. Thank God for the Savior who delivers us from the judgment to come. God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, God. Thank God for a day of grace today where we may witness. And I love the verse in 2 Timothy 1:12. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto me, unto him against that day. I'm not ashamed. And that's one of the last things my dad's told me. He said, Bill, don't ever be ashamed of the gospel. Don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed to speak for Christ. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. He's my Savior. I call him mine. I've trusted him. And I'm persuaded, absolutely persuaded, I know it's true, that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He'll keep me, and he'll keep what I believe. He'll keep me in terms of the work that I have. And I'm immortal until my time is over. And then the Lord will call me home. He's the great keeper. I've trusted him. Well, sin is the ultimate dilemma. Do you agree? And it's high-handed sin, rebellious sin. But so thankful for the Savior, aren't you? That there is a way of escape. There's love, there's peace, there's joy, there's a future, there's hope in Christ. And yes, judgment is certain, but salvation is real. And it's available to our friends and neighbors today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Noah as a preacher of righteousness. We think of what a family project it was to build the ark long ago. How much scorn and mockery perhaps he experienced, and yet he was a preacher of righteousness. God had called him to talk about holiness and God's standards. And he did it with hammer. He did it with every board that he put up on the ark, but he also did it with his words, and his family stood with him. We're thankful, Lord, for a way of escape, that the door is open today for any and all who will walk through it. We all have unsaved relatives and loved ones and friends, and we pray for them today. We pray for the people in so many places in our world that are fearful, that are being crushed by the violence and the evil and the ugliness in our world. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Good news. Help us to show it in our countenance. We would walk worthy of the gospel, but we would speak it boldly, Lord. Give us grace to do that. And we thank you for the camp and for the day before us, and we commit ourselves to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.